is Firepower, only at band.video. And now, your host, Will Johnson.
Welcome back, firepowernews.com. Will Johnson, Tom Pepper. So check it out. The Democrats, they have not let up. They are still at their old tricks. They are going for broke. God forbid that they cannot get what they want, right? Because if they don't get what they want, what is going to happen next? My goodness. All right. So the Democrats believe secondhand information is credible as long as they get what they want by taking out the president of the United States. Think about that. The Democrats believe every word that came out of Michael Cohen's mouth. You remember him, right? The ex-lawyer that wanted to work in the White House, but President Trump would not let him. He was completely upset about it. So the Democrats believed every single word that he was saying. So now they have a whistleblower. And this whistleblower come up with allegations against President Trump. And guess what? The left, they believe every single word coming from this whistleblower, even though it is secondhand information. People should be asking themselves, are these people really Congress? Are these the people that we elected? I don't think so. Let me ask the listening audience and the viewing audience a question. To my understanding, Congress, they go up on the hill and they make laws. And they're supposed to adhere to the laws and to the rules that they create, right? Are those laws only for us, the American people? See, they make the laws, but they don't have to adhere to them. I mean, that's exactly what it looks like. They get to make up all of these things. To elaborate on my point, if I go to a courthouse and I present information, evidence to the judge and tell the judge, well, judge, this is just secondhand information, conversation from hearsay, so-and-so said something. What do you think the judge is going to do? Is the judge going to be like, oh, okay, yeah, I will accept this as credible information, even though we don't know where it came from? I don't think so. Be honest with you, I think the judge will look at that information and probably throw it out and probably throw you out along with it. Rightfully so. Why would we allow that to happen? Okay, so the Democrats act as if they have everything they need to take out President Trump. Right now, they're running and scrambling around on the hill like this is success. Nadler had a grin on his face and said they're going to increase, they're going to speed up impeachment. Like they're happy. They're destroying the American people along with their president. Okay, so now this whole Ukraine scandal, the Democrats own this. The Democrats created this. Now they're trying to pawn it off on President Trump like he did it. Like it's his deal. But no, this was Joe Biden. The left keeps saying, and they keep asking, the left keeps saying that President Trump was talking to the Ukrainian president saying that, hey, I need for you to interfere in the 2020 election to help me get reelected. So look at and find information out about Joe Biden. Nowhere in the transcript, nowhere has it said that with the Ukraine president, but they keep saying it to get people to believe it. Why do you think they keep doing that? Because they know people are not going to take the time to go out and research to find out exactly what was said and who did what. They're only going to believe the talking points that's coming out of the liberal mainstream socialist media. Everything else is relevant. And they know this. They're very good at doing it. So go over to band.video, and click on the button up here that says live TV. Click on that live TV and it will take you over to the live TV that's happening and you'll be able to watch the show live. So let's head on into the studio. We have a great show for you tonight. We have quite a few guests. We have Robert Barnes. He is an American lawyer. He's going to talk about all of this stuff, how it plays in. I'm going to ask him questions. How is it the Democrats get away with breaking these laws? And are the laws only apply to us? That's one question I'm going to have for him. And then we have Erin Cruz. She created a petition to have Gavin Newsom of California removed. She's going to be our second guest. And then we're going to have Leo Dunson. He's an activist, artist, and musician. He's going to be joining us in the last hour as well. We're going to talk about the impeachment. We're going to talk about the whistleblower. We're going to talk about all of this on band.video, firepowernews.com. Please share the link. Get out there. Share the link right now. Get out there because you know what? The more people we bring to attention to this, the more people that recognize what's happening, the more we can engage in this fight. We'll be right back. All right. Hello, everybody. This is Will Johnson and Tom Pepper, firepowernews.com. We are about to have Tom try the Turbo Force orange juice experience for the first time. Let's do this, Tom, so everyone can see.
All right. I'm excited, Will. I knew when I came down here to do the show in person that I was going to have to try this at least once.
Infowarsstore.com.
Going for broke, huh?
That's right.
Infowarsstore.com. Infowarsstore.com.
Mmm. Oh, man. You're not kidding. That just goes together. It doesn't almost taste like orange juice anymore. It's something else.
Almost.
It's special.
Yeah. Right?
Wow. It just goes together perfectly.
It gives the orange juice that energy that is missing,
right? It
gives
it some depth. It's not so citrusy and acidic tasting anymore. And the thing is, you know this is going to keep me up for the next 10 hours.
It will. You know what? And then when you come back down, it won't be like a crash.
That's right.
What I really like about it.
That's right. Now, that is a fantastic idea.
Amazing.
It's delicious. I cannot recommend that enough to anybody out there. Put it in the orange juice, folks. He's not kidding. This stuff is awesome.
Get yours today at InfoWarsStore.com.
Loaded.
Hello, everybody. Welcome, firepowernews.com. We have our special guest in house with us tonight, Robert Barnes, attorney, lawyer.
Yep.
Political gambler. Political gambler. You know, I've been paying attention to a lot of your work here lately, especially the one with the, the young, I have a different name I like to call them. I'm not going to say it here.
The Young Turks?
Yeah, the Young Turks, but I have a different name, something that rhymed with Turks.
There's a range of items.
There's quite a few.
You can start with T-U-R and then you'll substitute the different letters for the K.
Yeah,
It's an unusual name to pick because that was a group that supported Armenian genocide historically. If you go back to the origin of the words, the Young Turks, before this political media network took on the name Young Turks. But Cenk,
that's
interesting. You know,
is that by design for them to take on that name?
Well, that's what Alex was asking him at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, when Cenk started going crazy and you had Jimmy Dore go up, who I otherwise like, but went up and spat on Alex. I mean, it was insanity. But we may have video footage somewhere of that, but there's a history of the Young Turks going insane when their untruths and their deeper problematic truths are exposed.
Interesting. We have Tom Pepper riding a shotgun with us too.
All right,
so
excellent.
He may have some questions for you. One of the questions I was talking about in my opening monologue is that, you know, we have people go up on the Hill that are congressmen, mm-hmm. congresswomen, and they make up these laws and to my understanding, they're supposed to adhere to the laws that they create themselves, right?
Yeah, ideally, that's correct.
So if I were to present some information to the court, to the judge, and it was on hearsay information, describe to me what would actually take place.
So the rules of evidence in the United States, there's the federal rules of evidence. Each state has passed its own rules of evidence. The court systems have adopted various common law rules of evidence for certain kinds of proceedings and cases. And those rules have been designed to reflect what they consider reliable information versus unreliable information. So when it comes to the context of hearsay, the reason why we don't allow hearsay, there are a lot of exceptions to it that where we do allow it, but hearsay is a general rule when they say, well, I heard so-and-so said something, and that makes what so-and-so said true, right? Like I heard so-and-so say something is not necessarily hearsay, but if I'm saying, hey, that proves it's true because I heard George over here say it, we've determined over hundreds of years in our court system that that's unreliable, that's untrustworthy, implicitly and inherently. And for that very reason, we don't allow it as evidence in trials. So Congress should follow the same rules of evidence. Impeachment proceedings generally should follow. It's up to Congress. Congress can write its own rules when it comes to impeachment. It doesn't have to follow the rules of evidence. But those rules of evidence were designed for good reason and good cause because they're better avenues of truth. And we should not allow unreliable, inherently untrustworthy information. And that's how we label hearsay in the law. We call that inherently untrustworthy information. We should not allow it to be the basis of any decision that we make, least of all when as consequential as impeachment, which involves overturning an election and invalidating the people's will.
I mean, we're seeing a lot of that right now.
Oh, completely. This CIA report reads, I recommend people read or watch any of John Le Carre's movies or the movies that are based on his books. I said, if you wanted to understand the Steele dossier, as soon as it came out, even before it was known as the Steele dossier, back in early 2017, I advised friends and other people in the public to watch the movie The Tailor of Panama, which is based on a John Le Carre book. John Le Carre was himself a spy. His first book was Came In From the Cold. And towards the end, he has a wonderful rant against the culture of spydom and who really dominates spies. It's a lot of elite kids. Not people actually well-trained or well-prepared for the profession or occupation of gaining information about a potential adversary, but a more like political hack serving their own interest in the interest of a deep state entrenched apparatus that supports oligarchic elites, and not only here but around the world. And in Tailor of Panama, the well-presented by Pierce Brosnan is the main character. And he's a spy who scripts a crazy narrative based on a range of things like hearsay, mm-hmm. based on third-hand information, based on uninformed speculation, that he scripts into a media-type narrative where he gets the U.S. government to pay him a lot of money and invade Panama. And the whole purpose of it, it's all based on a lie so he can enrich himself and rob a government of $210 million and disappear.
Wow.
And the government wants to hear it, wants to hear the lies, and so they script it together in what sounds like a compelling narrative, like WMDs in Iraq, like babies being killed and incubator babies being killed for Iraq War Number One, like the Gulf of Tonkin, like Sink the Maine, like the Lusitania, like all the things that somehow get us into wars, these lies that have always been scripted by one thing in common, spies. Spies are, you know, when they're spying, they're lying.
Speaking about spies, you know, they're talking about right now, they had President Trump mentioned about there's spies in the White House or spies in the administration that's leaking information to the so-called whistleblower.
Well, the New York Times confirmed today that the whistleblower was the CIA agent assigned to the White House.
Really?
To the New York Times.
The CIA agent to the White House.
Yes. That he is actually the whistleblower.
Serious? And then, but this is crazy. Okay, let me ask you this. Is this not the continuation of the coup that's been taking place against President Trump?
Deep state part two. That's all it is. By any language, by any reference, this is a deep state coup by a different name.
So
that's why the Intelligence Committee is running the impeachment.
So what happens? So what happens when this falls flat on its face and they don't get President Trump removed?
The difference is the deep state is doubling down, and they have loyal Democrats. You know, the deep state could blow a leaf across Adam Schiff's desk and he'd rush to sign it if involved impeaching the President of the United States. The Intelligence Committee, which is important to understand, Congress did not have an Intelligence Committee prior to the 1970s. Then we had the scandal of what everything happened that was connected to Watergate, which not only involved President Nixon, but his adversaries as well. And so Frank Church, who had been the first U.S. senator to be illicitly spied on by the National Security Agency in the late 1960s, formed a special committee on intelligence and he used that special committee to disclose all the assassination efforts to assassinate Martin Luther King, efforts to assassinate foreign governments, efforts to overthrow Lumumba in Africa, the first democratic opportunity for Africa to go to a very different direction. Could have gone a democratic election, but the CIA and deep state apparatus did not allow that to happen because they wanted to exploit Africa's assets for itself and precipitated a cold war that devastated Africa for 40 years and the proxy battles that took place there. All of that was disclosed. MK Ultra, COINTELPRO, all of that exposed by the Frank Church Committee. So they decided to make the intelligence committees permanent in both the House and the Senate. And the point and purpose of it was to monitor the intelligence community. Well, of course, this was my old argument with my old client, Ralph Nader. These kind of committees end up being captured by the various people they're supposed to be regulating and become tools of those actual people that they're supposed to be regulating. And that's what's happened. That's why Senator Burr is so bad in the Senate as a part of the Intelligence Committee. The intelligence communities run those politicians.
That's amazing. So we're going to go to a hard break here.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm just taking in everything that you're saying here, and it's absolutely amazing that we are living in this time where this is happening for us.
Yes.
I mean, what an amazing time to be alive to actually see this take place in the United States government. So right back, we'll be right back after this. Will Johnson, Tom Pepper, Firepower. All right, welcome back, firepowernews.com. Will Johnson, Tom Pepper. We have in studio with us Robert Burns, attorney at law. So, you know, like we were talking about before we went to the break, you know, saying what happens if they don't succeed? You know, that's one of the questions because I've been bringing that up because they've tried to do everything they can to take out this president. I mean, everything, and everything has fallen flat on his face. And come to find out, this whistleblower is part of the CIA and the White House. So they didn't, so basically the White House knows exactly who this person is.
Yes, of course. And it was probably a trick and a trap to try to get the president to put himself into criminal jeopardy by disclosing that this guy was a CIA source. Because if you go back to the Libby prosecution, Louis Libby prosecution in 2002, they were, Louis Libby was the chief of staff for Dick Cheney, then the vice president, who put out that Victoria Plume was related to the parties leaking negative information about the Iraqi war and that she was a CIA agent. Because that violated a specific federal statute, that's why Louis Libby was criminally prosecuted and indicted and ultimately convicted and then subsequently pardoned or commuted his sentence. So his whole life was ruined. The goal was probably to get Trump, hoping Trump, knowing who it was, would say who it was, and then they would be able to criminally investigate him for that. He was wise not to take the bait. But they're open and overt about it. The lawyer representing the individual is an ex-CIA lawyer with tight ally, who's deeply allied with John Brennan, the former CIA director under President Obama. And on top of that, the guy speaks Ukrainian. So, I mean, like, he's deeply invested in all of
wow.
it. Then you take it another step, and what came out today is that Pelosi is not allowing the Judiciary Committee, which has always governed issues of impeachment, but is instead requiring the Intelligence Committee to run the impeachment effort.
Really?
So this is a deep state funded, deep this state is, backed, deep state.
This can't be normal. This can't be normal.
Nothing about this is normal.
Yeah. So we have Tom Pepper on. Let's bring Tom on with us. So if you can bring Tom, there he is. So Tom, do you have any questions for Mr. Barnes here?
Well, I'm just wondering, and it's great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for staying late with us tonight. But so I think it was all the way back in 2017 when President Trump first started calling out the Intelligence Committee for basically being part, or the intelligence community rather, for basically being part of the deep state. And there were all these very ominous warnings that were reported in the Washington Post and New York Times. Be careful. You do not want to cross the intelligence community. So I'm just kind of wondering, is this the logical step that now we're getting literally the intelligence community, the CIA is being put forward to dismantle this presidency? And if so, where does this end? Because this is the intelligence community is global. So where do you see this going? And is this the intelligence community trying to take down the Trump administration?
Let me add to that because Tom is absolutely right. Yeah, the CIA is doing this along with the FBI.
Right.
So
the political hierarchy, what they call the seventh floor, is the colloquial term for where the politicians that run the FBI operate. So your line FBI agent is not involved in this kind of nonsense. But the people that are your political appointees, people who get in, who are Obama's shadow government hangovers and holdovers. And so I think the president continues to face problems related to that. But to go to that, I think the deep state's agenda is a bifurcated agenda. So on the one hand, what they want is, and they will achieve success if they simply stop the Ukrainian government from conducting an investigation into deep state activities under the Obama administration involving laundering funds out of the Ukraine to Biden's family, to other deep state connected parties, including Mitt Romney's national security advisor who sat on the board of that same Ukrainian company. That too came out today. So they achieve success if they can use impeachment as simply a threat to the Ukrainian government to say, hey, look, if we can impeach our own president, the president of the most powerful country in the world, what do you think we can do to you, an ex-comedian, reality TV show star, turned president of a country that's had nothing but our own puppets or Russia's puppets at its controls for the entire legal history of Ukraine existing as a country since the 1990s? Mm-hmm. So that's the first warning. And then they achieve success. Even if impeachment goes nowhere, they achieve a second level of success if they intimidate the president or more importantly, the president's allies. So they are telling everybody who's not the president that's in the White House, look at what we can do to the elected president of the United States. So maybe you should think twice if you're in the CIA and you want to be a real whistleblower, not this fake whistleblower, and you want to disclose corruption or collusion in government actions or operation, then the best way you can do so is to make sure to keep your mouth shut up, because if you don't, you'll face the worst consequences than the president is. So it's a message to the people in the president's administration not to follow up on the president's promises. And then third, it's to intimidate the president of the United States. Try to get to deter and discourage him from changing policy towards Ukraine, changing policy towards Russia, changing policy towards the American empire, changing policy towards the internal operations of the CIA and the FBI. This is the same thing Mark Felt did. The famous Deep Throat was actually a corrupt member of Deep State who took out Nixon. Nixon wasn't taken out for anything he did wrong. Nixon was taken out because he tried to challenge Deep State power at the institutional FBI. Mark Felt was the man who ran COINTELPRO, later criminally indicted for his conduct, and then magically got amnesty and pardon because of his lobbying of the Reagan administration, which didn't know the scope and scale of what he'd been up to. So the deep state, this is a deep state coup part two against the president, which has multiple objectives that they can attain and achieve, even short of actual removal of the president. But I think as a popular tweet was sent out today, if they remove, we reelect. So they can't prevent re-election of the president.
So you can impeach the president, but he can be re-elected.
Absolutely. The impeachment just sends it to the Senate for trial for removal. Even if somehow they need two-thirds of the U.S. Senate to remove,
but we already know that the Senate is not going to do it.
The Senate, they're leaking that they think the Senate will do it. But even if the Senate somehow did do it, the American people are going to re-elect President Trump. And what are they going to do then? They're going to try to impeach him all over again?
I agree with you because American people, they're basically telling the American people, like, we don't want President Trump, even though the American people voted him in. We're
like,
telling you because we know what's best for you. That's exactly what they're telling us.
It's just like what's happening with Brexit. The people in the United Kingdom say we went out of the European Union. What's happening? The judges and the politicians are saying, nah, we're going to stay in the European Union. We don't care what you did.
Because they believe they know what's best for us.
Exactly. It's the scope and severity of deep state power. I mean, when President Kennedy challenged various deep state actions, he ended up dead a year later. You know, whether you want to draw a connection or cause a relationship to that is up to you.
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up because I said if they fail, which I presume that they're going to fail at this
ultimately,
as well,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
When they fail at this, they don't have.
People will stop them.
Yeah. But it's like, yeah, exactly. They don't have anything else left to do to this president other than try to take him out with assassination,
and
putting a bullet in him.
What happened in the late 1960s, I think, scared and terrified some of those deep state criminal operatives from going rogue in that direction, because the assassinations of Martin Luther King, of John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, the mysterious deaths of other people and individuals during that time period led to deep, like Patrice Lumumba and others, led to suspicion about our government and governments around the world. And it so discredited and destabilized the reputations of governments that the deep state realized, oh, maybe we went too far. Maybe people will be more scared of us than they are scared of the random person down the street. And then that's how revolutions happen and the world changes. So I think they're going to think twice about going to that dramatic and drastic step. So it's up to the people to stop it from happening.
Yeah, hopefully so. Hopefully so. Because I, God forbid that takes place, because I think this country will go into the next physical civil war. I truly believe we're in a civil war right now, but the next physical civil war.
Low simmer.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But if they do something to President Trump, the gloves come off.
All right,
it's Fire Power News. Will Johnson, Tom Pepper. We'll be back after this.
In the fire of truth. Firepower with Will Johnson.
All right, welcome back. Firepower News, Will Johnson and Tom Pepper. All right, so we're getting right back into it because we have a lot of information. So we're going to go ahead and bring Tom in and let Tom get another question in here.
So it's a very fascinating picture that you've laid out for us here, and I think that you are dead on. But I do want to kind of go back to what we were just talking about at the tail end of the last segment, because I saw the same tweet that, and it's kind of tongue in cheek that, you know, if President Trump gets impeached, then we'll just reelect him. We're almost to 2020 anyway. But I do wonder, you know, what do you think would happen to the country where President Trump has some of the best numbers in terms of support that he's ever had? And, you know, you can probably add 10 points to that, according to the president. What do you think would happen to the United States if they somehow moved forward and kicked this guy out of office despite his massive approval ratings?
I think if President Trump was removed, he would be reelected. And I think it would rally his base in a unique way. And I think it would jeopardize the permanent power of the deep state fully committed, moving forward. I mean, it would give the president a green light, a full blank slate to move forward to completely clean house. And so that's why I think the deep state won't gamble so far as to actually remove him. They want to use this as a threat to try to coerce him to behave in a certain manner, in the same way the Mueller investigation was continually utilized. Whenever President Trump deviated from any of the deep state objectives in foreign policy, you would see some leak that implicated Trump in some Mueller investigation issue. By contrast, whenever he did something that the deep state liked, you saw some favorable leak from the Mueller investigation. So I think that this is the same pattern. They've just found the Democrats to be their front man rather than Mueller, and they're going to continue the same path and use it as a constant coercive threat against him. I think by now he's exhausted by it and doesn't care about it and will move forward and will double down on what he's doing. So they'll be unsuccessful. And I think they are dumb enough and dangerous enough to try to remove an elected president. And I think they underestimate the power of the American people to resist that and to overturn their objective, their agenda in trying to dictate the political affairs to the country against the elected will of the people.
Hmm. You got another question, Tom?
So I think you're absolutely right about that. I think they're underestimating the American people. I mean, you see the average Trump rally and there's 40, 50,000 people sometimes driving 6-7 hours just to get there, sometimes longer. There's people who travel to every single Trump rally. I mean, people are more engaged than they've probably been previously in American history. So and one of the things that I fear and that I think we all work against in this movement at InfoWars at Band.video is we all are afraid that there will be some type of actual physical conflict in this country. And surely the deep state knows that by working to get this guy out of office, I mean, they could be inching us closer and closer toward this. What do you think would happen? And God forbid, again, this is what we're all fighting against. I despise violence, and I think everybody on this show and watching this show does as well. What do you think the deep state, are they concerned about this? Do they think we're all too passive? Or do they think they'll win?
I mean, I think they think that they will win their original objective, which is to preclude a meaningful investigation into Ukrainian corruption by the Ukrainian government, and a secondary objective of limiting the degree to which the U.S. governmental authorities inquire into that area. They would have a major win if they prevent Attorney General Barr from indicting Andrew McCabe. So right. I think that's their primary objective. Their secondary objective is threatening, coercing, and intimidating the President of the United States. And his administration or anyone who may act on its behalf. And I think they will have partial success there is the way they think. Remember, the deep state's only been burned once in American political history. That was after they took out Nixon. They got burned by the Frank Church Committee. But now they resolved after that they would continually manipulate who got on that intelligence committee, build blackmail files. It was found out years ago that they were spying on the Senate Intelligence Committee, the CIA was illegally looking at their emails and private correspondence. So they now basically have co-opted the Intelligence Committee of both the Senate under Senator Burr and the House under Shifty Schiff. So I think that with that, they don't fear those congressional committee oversight at all. So all they need to do is keep the president from prying into their spying bad ways, their lying bad ways. That involve undermining foreign governments and our own domestic democracy for their own self-enrichment, self-empowerment. There's a TV show that's popular right now. I think it's on the Epix Network and some other ones called Deep State, about Deep State. And it gets into exactly these kind of politics and procedures. Things like Alex Jones has been talking about DinCorp for decades. If you've been following Alex Jones, movies like The Whistleblower are not a surprise at all. You know what's going to happen before the main character in that movie knows what's going to happen. You know the script. You know how the ending ends. You know how things proceed because you know how power truly operates. As even a liberal publication in The Week said, the Alex Jones audience understands this world better than any other audience, better than liberal news media audience, better than Maddow audience, better than the Fox audience. They can understand Epstein in ways that none of them can, that they're still baffled and bewildered by. They don't foresee the unexplained death in custody like an Alex Jones audience does. So the same thing is happening here. This is a deep state coup times two. This is a deep state coup part two. And the president needs his, the major firewall is the public, which is what Tom is talking about. But the deep state underestimates that, just like they underestimated it through Trump's primary campaign, just like they underestimated it through Trump's general election campaign, just like they've underestimated for the first 3 years of the Trump administration. What they don't understand, because they're disconnected, because their world is the Hollywood world, their world is the big media world, their world is their cocktail party friends, their world is the elite culture they grew up in, they don't understand middle America and ordinary America and their willingness and their readiness to back this president, support this president.
You know, talking about ordinary Americans, when we watch the telly and we see how they're on there, they're blatantly lying, saying that, well, President Trump is trying to work with the Ukrainian president to tell everyone that, hey, he is trying to undermine the election by going after a person, Joe Biden, running for president. This is completely
false, fabricated.
Yeah, but there hasn't been anything. And correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe you've seen it. I haven't seen any documentation saying that President Trump deliberately went to the Ukrainian president to ask for help to undermine the 2020 election.
Not at all. In fact, that's a completely false story. What they're really saying is, just like the 2016 campaign, they're like, oh my goodness, WikiLeaks exposed Hillary Clinton's crimes and corruption. This is terrible. This is awful. It's like, hold on a second. Isn't that what the media is supposed to be doing? Uncovering politicians' crimes and corruption. True. So it isn't undermining an election to expose someone's criminal behavior. We should be exposed. There isn't a provision of the Constitution that says the President of the United States shall not investigate crime if it happens to implicate his adversary. His duty and obligation is to investigate crime. And under the Mutual Legal Assistance Treaty, signed in 1999 by President Clinton, advocated for by then-Senator Joe Biden, with the Ukraine, the United States has an obligation under the U.S. Constitution, pursuant to the Treaty Clause, to assist the Ukrainian government in any way possible and practicable in investigating corruption. And that corruption happens to implicate the Biden family and deep state actors. It would be a crime if Trump turned a blind eye to it.
Yeah, but they're not the only ones. One of the things I was talking about earlier on my personal video that I did was, how is it that Joe Biden did a billion-dollar deal without Obama knowing about it? So let me put it like this. So if Republicans was working a billion-dollar deal under Obama, do you think that then I can see maybe them sliding through it? But he is the vice president to the president. How was he doing a billion-dollar deal without his acknowledgement?
Because Biden thought that meant president of vice. So, you know, he just took his legal label and thought, oh, this means is what I can do. And that's effectively what he did do. And I think Obama delegated it to him, knowing this is how things get done, letting it get done. He allowed it to get done. And that was Obama's, he delegated a lot.
Yeah. And even on top of that, you have the liberal media saying that Obama didn't know anything about it. But in the video where Biden was celebrating that he got the prosecutor fired, they were telling him, he said that you can't do this. You're not the president. He said, well, call him, as if Obama already knew about it.
Now, I'd say two things about Biden. Biden had a reputation in Washington of being able to get things done without the normal approval and a chain of authority that's supposed to take place. I had a wide range of lobbyists would pitch me during my clients contesting the U.S. government, say that they could talk to Biden and magically cases would go
away. Just get what they want.
I never took him up on it, but that's his reputation.
That's amazing. That's amazing. All right. Will Johnson, Tom Pepper, 5PowerNews.com. Much, much more coming. Much, much more coming from Mr. Robert Barnes. You gotta hear it. Gotta hear it. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back, FirePowerNews.com. Will Johnson, Tom Pepper. We have our special guest, lawyer, a beautiful lawyer, awesome. I love your work. I've been really paying attention to it. So let's talk about what you're doing right now. But let me make sure we get a question in from Tom. And then after that, I want to hear about what you're working on right now in more detail. I know you're doing stuff about the Young Turks, and I think that's absolutely something that's necessary and it's needed right now. And we'll talk about, you know, your website and a few more things. So let's go to Tom and see if Tom has any more questions for Mr. Barnes.
Well,
That's actually exactly where I wanted to go, Will. We're on the same page here because we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about what's going on with the Young Turks right now. And it's a very fascinating thing to witness from somebody who's, you know, a few hundred miles away here in Wichita, because everybody remembers a few months ago, the headline said that Alex Jones sent child pornography to the Sandy Hook victim's parents. And it was absurd. I mean, who would do such a thing? How could he do such a thing? And when you look back to who was pushing that lie, it was the Young Turks. So can you kind of tell us, obviously now Alex Jones is suing the Young Turks. You're the lawyer on the case. Can you explain to us what Alex hopes to achieve by suing these degenerates?
It was one of the worst lies and libels and smears ever spread by anyone in the media and the press about a fellow member of the media and the press. What the Young Turks said. They knew it was a lie. They knew it was a libel. They knew it was so bad they deleted the video, or at least prevented the public from viewing it. But they left the title up. And the title is still being recommended by Google, being recommended by YouTube. You search Alex Jones, it shows up. You search InfoWars, it shows up. You search other news topics, it shows up. You watch other news programs, it's recommended. Hey, please look at this title. Please look at this title. Knowing it's a lie. Knowing it's a libel. We specifically requested they retract and correct, gave them months to fix it, months to correct it, refused to take any corrective action, any meaningful retraction that is across the board. So they left us with no choice but to bring suit in the Western District of Texas here in Austin, where they're going to face a Texas jury for their lies and libels. And the reason is Alex has been resistant to bringing suit in general, isn't a fan of lawsuits. Wants to protect the free press and free speech at all costs, doesn't want to get involved in unnecessary cases. But he felt that what the Young Turks, if they could do it to him, other media organizations would definitely wipe out every other little guy out there. Every little startup, small media operation, every little independent free press operation, every independent member of the public that tries to participate in politics or public affairs, all of them would be wiped out by the kind of lies and libels that were targeted Alex. It was only the firewall of the supporters of InfoWars, of the people who go to InfoWarsStore.com in order to get wealthier, get wiser, and change the world at the same time, and get healthier at the same time.
Yeah.
It's the only place you can get healthier, get wealthier, and get wiser all at the same
time. That is true.
And change the world.
That is true.
And they do it more so than any audience in the world, more so than any group in the world. So credit and kudos to them. But what happens to the little guy who doesn't have that firewall, who doesn't have that backing, who doesn't have that support, who doesn't have that solid foundation, who doesn't have that base of operation? They could get crushed. They could get quashed. So in the name of defending and representing all of them, because in the end, we are all Alex Jones when it comes to the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, he took legal action. And he wanted to show these folks there will be consequence if you continue to lie and libel people. If you try to use your superior media platforms and your big tech backing and your billionaire sugar daddy backing in order to try to crush the little guy, well, the little guy's going to fight back. So they want to be Goliath, fine. Alex Jones will be David, and we'll see you on the legal battlefield.
So I know you're working the case. Have they said anything publicly about Alex Jones?
They've said nothing. We also sued Brianna Wu, a Democratic candidate for Congress, and she said she was going to stand up against Alex Jones. She's the one who lied and libeled. You want to stand up? How about stand up for the truth and honesty and quit lying and libeling? So that's where she's at.
So I don't mean to go back to Shifty Schiff and everything.
Yeah.
But they lie.
It's a pattern. That's probably what the, that was probably her standard bearer. That was probably the model of operation she wanted to pursue. She's like, she just watched the Senate Intelligence Committee chairman get up and start the whole
thing. The liberal media would do it constantly.
5 minutes of just lying. He made up a fabricated, falsified transcript that does not exist. Fake news, fake transcript. So, all lies and libels
so
against the president.
Young Turks leaving this up there. Why wouldn't they simply just take it down?
Because they're getting a lot of traffic. They're getting a lot of business.
They're getting a lot of traffic.
They're getting people
because
to
it's
say, take out Alex Jones, destroy Alex Jones.
And it mounts up the dollars. Even though it's a total lie, it's mounting up the dollars, so they're getting dollars from leaving it up there.
It's making them more powerful, more influential. It's doing their billionaire sugar daddies good business. It's serving the interest of their institutional donors, serving the interest of their partisan audience, serving the interest of the Hillary Clintons of the world.
Even though it's a total lie.
Absolutely.
They're just putting it out there, leaving it out there. And they know it's a lie.
It's propaganda that's successful. They knew it was a lie from the day they talked about it, from the day they mentioned it, from the day they said it. They knew it was a lie and a libel. The information they relied upon told them it was a lie and a libel. There's simply no doubt about that whatsoever. So that's why the critical aspect of this is it creating an organization. Alex is willing to be the face and the front and the brunt of all of these cases and take on protect First Amendment rights against defamation, against big media defamation, take on the First Amendment and protect the First Amendment against big tech deplatforming, take on and help represent and defend and vindicate and expose the deep state and the whistleblowers who expose the deep state like Robin Gritz. And people can find out about all of it if they're willing to. So it's going to be up to the people. They're going to decide what cases we're able to bring, how far we're able to go. Just like InfoWars only exists as long as its audience backs it, these lawsuits will only exist as long as the audience supports it. And they can do so at freeamericalawcenter.com. That's freeamericalawcenter.com. Become monthly subscribers for $17.76 a month. They get podcasts, they get Q&A, they get exclusive Q&As from legal experts. They get books that are self-education series about the Bill of Rights. There's going to be over a dozen of them. So they get a lot of value that's way exceeds the $17.76 month cost. But more importantly, they get to support litigation that's going to change the world. The Free America Law Center is the leading organization supporting the Covington kids. The Free America Law Center is the lead organization supporting Robin Gritz's case that exposes deep state corruption, including Andrew McCabe and the FBI, that helped put Andrew McCabe on the map in the first place, was her whistleblowing, one of the greatest counterterrorism FBI agents protecting us against terrorism in the last 20 years, a longtime ally of General Flynn. The cases of Alex Jones against the Young Turks, against potentially YouTube and Google and Facebook and MarketWatch and Instagram and these other institutional bad faith actors in the worlds of defamation and deplatforming. Once again, Free America Law Center will be front and center. But how many cases we take? I've put the legal team together. The lawyers are willing to either donate their time or advance their costs. But there's all kinds of deposition costs, transcription costs, service costs, travel costs, local lawyer costs to file certain things and appear in certain hearings. These cases easily add up. And as long as we can cover the costs, then we can eat the rest and move forward. But it's going to be up to the people. They get to decide, hey, I really like this, or maybe they don't like it. If they don't, that's their
know what? The American people need something like this because of the way the social media is taking out people just for posting a picture. Some people get banned on there for posting a picture saying, I love Jesus.
Well, today the AADL added this to the hate group.
I have a document on that, yes.
If you have a bowl cut, You're now part of a hate group.
So you have, if you have a bowl cut, do the okay sign.
What are they doing? The ADL is doing that so that the Antifa has a license to physically attack and violently assault these individuals and threaten them with assault. Because, hey, they're saying this is really a fascist symbol. See somebody do this. See somebody has a bowl cut. Now you can assault them in the
street. So what happens if you're a scuba diver? Because to my understanding, some of the guys in the control room just told me, you're in a scuba diver, that's how you tell your scuba.
If you do okay.
You say okay, yeah, I'm okay.
While you're okay, you're done, you're happy,
because you can't
talk. You're ready to roll. All of this now, you could be assaulted at any given moment. You've now done a hate symbol.
So what, you know what?
Kid has a nice little, you know, little chill.
Yeah, I put a tweet out there saying, back in the day you had the Klan attacking Black people and white people that were Republicans.
Yeah,
today, exactly. You have Antifa attacking Black people and white people that are Republicans.
Yeah, exactly. It's Klantifa. And it's the same culture of Klantifa. And you're seeing in Washington, D.C. is now basically like a Southern 1950s jury, not willing to indict certain people like Andrew McCabe, apparently, not willing to convict Antifa violence and G20 violence. And the inauguration violence that took place where people were burned in ordinary people's cars. A guy had a little limousine business. It was his only business. Antifa decided to destroy and burn his car. And guess what happened? They got to walk because the jury refused to convict because orange man bad.
So this is the state of America. How much more can this country take?
It cannot. I mean, the reason why Attorney Barr stepped in and the reason why I think he will take meaningful action is because he realizes the deep state is willing to kill America for its own self-interest. And he's not willing to be part of that. So even though he has long-time political establishment ties, he recognizes the value of a good political establishment is stability, and that they are jeopardizing stability with their reckless, wayward actions and course of conduct that endanger American democracy at its core.
Wow, this is crazy. Hey, I want to thank you for coming
on
with
me. Glad to be here.
You need to do this more often.
Oh, yeah.
We need to do it more often because all the information that you have coming out is just absolutely awesome. And I think more people need to hear it.
Yeah.
So, awesome. Will Johnson, Tom Pepper, firepowernews.com. We'll be back after this.
Forge immersed in the fire of truth. Firepower with Will Johnson.
All right, welcome back, firepowernews.com. Will Johnson, Tom Pepper. So check it out. You know, all this stuff that's going on, we still have to get a minute to talk about some other crazy stuff that's going on. Now, this video that we're getting ready to show you is this video with this lady. I guess it's a grocery store, but she's calling people, I'm assuming they're black people, the N-word. And she's constantly saying it, saying that she hates people. She's, I hate the N-word. Now, the only reason why I want to bring emphasis to this video is because, not to take her freedom of speech away, because I completely agree with it, but my point about all of this is that anytime in the past when I've been called the N-word, it's only been by leftists, progressives, that's been completely hateful towards me. Now, conservatives, I've been around white people all of my life because I lived in America all of my life. I even lived in Germany at one point. But when I've been around white people and I've been around white people that have said the word, but they didn't say it out of hate. They said it in a comment or because I showed them something and they're just reading it out loud. You can tell when someone is saying it hateful. Now, this lady, she is being hateful when she's saying this. So it leads me to believe that she is completely a progressive liberal, because I've only experienced that from progressive liberals. Now, I'm not saying that you have conservatives out there that don't have these hateful tendencies. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying openly out in the public, it's always been progressive liberals that's been hateful towards me. And that's the only thing I've been seeing. So let's go to this video clip of this insane female. Warning, 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 advice.
Yeah, she's on drugs or something.
No, I'm totally, I just hate the
you. Oh,
baby,
take a break.
I hate
the okay, we're calling the cops on you because you're disturbing anyone.
I would kill the but the law says I can't kill the if the law didn't say that I couldn't kill the they'd all be dead.
I mean, wow, that's completely insane. See, that's exactly what I'm talking about when I talk about progressive liberals. They have said they've done me like that for years. And on top of that, in the last segment, Mr. Robert Burns, attorney at law, he brought it up. The whole thing now, if you do this, it is considered now a racist symbol. Pretty soon they're going to take everything away from us that has no meaning, but okay. They have taken the symbol that says okay, like everything is okay. This is warfare on a spiritual level that has never taken place, my opinion, at least not in my lifetime. And I never expected to see such an insanity take place that you can't say okay. This was happening is just another thing. And I guarantee the left, when they get this video, they see this video, they're automatically going to say that she's a conservative, that she's a Trump supporter. I'm not saying she's one or the other. My point is that they've only received that even on social media today, the year 2019, when you have these socialists, they constantly say these socialist, communist, progressive Democrats, they constantly say that they're for black people, for minorities, for women. But the only time I ever hear this type of language out of anger is when it comes from the left. You have to ask yourself, if you're supporting the left, does that make you the true racist in this country? I would say it does. Because if you know that the left is embraced this type of behavior when it comes to being angry and being hateful, then that includes you. That's exactly what you are. You don't have to speak out against it. You go vote for it even. Just like abortion. You say you're against abortion, but yet every 4 years you go vote for abortion. What does it say about you? All right, Will Johnson, Tom Pepper, we'll be right back after this message. We have a special guest coming on with us.
Thank you.
Welcome back, firepowernews.com. Will Johnson, Tom Pepper. Okay, so we're going to have our next guest on, this young lady, Erin Cruz, is a strong conservative who prioritizes a strong national defense, enhanced border security, economic growth, physical accountability, and transparency, and protecting taxpayer interests. She is currently running for Congress and is the author of the recall of Gavin Newsom. All right. Do we have her? Okay. So let's go ahead and bring her on. I got a question. So, okay. You're the only one that has a petition out there to recall Gavin Newsom. And this has been approved by the Secretary of the State in California.
Absolutely. Yes, oh, awesome. Absolutely.
Thank you for joining me.
Of course. It's such an honor to be on with you today. I know I'm traveling throughout the state of California, and I'm just so blessed that all the patriots are coming together and standing up and fighting for what they believe in across party lines. It's just been amazing.
Okay. Yeah. So you have to my understanding, you have to get over a million signatures before February of next year. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. About 1.5 million signatures.
1.5 million signatures. How many signatures do you have, and how close are you to beating your goal?
Well, we were approved by the Secretary of State on September 6th, and we've been circulating for just a few weeks here. Our first submission deadline is September 30th, and we do know that we have about a million signature lines circulating in the state of California. It's just a matter of getting those petitions filled out and returned and then submitted to each county. We'll see. You know, I know the excitement is going on throughout the state, and even Democrats are signing. So, you know, Gavin's going to have a run for his money come next November.
So let me ask you this. Have you got a response from Gavin Newsom?
Oh, yes. We got quite the response from Gavin Newsom, in fact. He basically called out us, the proponents, and called us extremists. And I think, you know, one of the scariest parts is that he isolates Trump supporters. He says a handful of partisan activists supporting President Trump and his dangerous agenda to divide America are trying to overturn the definitive will of California voters and bring Washington's broken government to California with this recall effort. We're just regular folks. I mean, we're just regular people, everyday people who are fed up and tired of the direction that the state is going and the way that Gavin Newsom is putting Americans last.
Let me ask you this. What was the nail in the coffin for you to go ahead and initiate this?
Well, I think the biggest thing is the quality of life here. My daughter moved out of state. My folks are moving out of state. And I'm seeing that it's just unsustainable. I was born and raised here, and I don't want to go anywhere. And when I saw Gavin Newsom making some of the changes he was in the very beginning part of the year after he was elected, it was just, it's too much.
And, yeah, you know,
and
what, you know,
extreme.
I was,
he's extreme.
Yeah, he,
if anybody's extreme, he's extreme.
Yes, I completely agree with you. He's completely extreme. When I was living in California, right when he was elected. And I mean, I left California, but one of the things that he did right after he was elected, he publicly did it saying that he's going to make free health care for illegals. When you have over 50,000 in one city and you have a 30,000 in another city that are homeless, and he's giving free health care. So what does that do? All that's going to do is put the state more in debt.
Right. And beyond that, you're using taxpayer dollars for something it wasn't intended to be used for. And also, you know, you look at those, you talk about these homeless people. These are, you know, mentally ill individuals. These are veterans. These are everyday people. And a matter of fact, we have some of the largest population of homeless children in the country, our own children. And all the while, Gavin Newsom is ready to hand out benefits to those people who shouldn't even be eligible for any kind of taxpayer dollars. It's tragic. It's tragic. And, you know, my heart goes out to the people who are here, who are fighting every day just to make ends meet and not have to move. And we've got to put an end to this somewhere. Quality of life is declining here in the state of California. You know, Gavin Newsom just basically signed off on, I think it was AB5, sorry about that, and making Uber drivers, okay, and Lyft drivers no longer contractors but employees. We're going to lose a lot of jobs here. There's some legislation that's going to impact truckers here. Every day, you know, regular folks and just trying to make it. And it just has got to stop. And Gavin Newsom needs to be recalled. And I know that we do not believe that it's just Republicans or conservatives that see this way. It's a lot of the people here in the state of California. And this is California's opportunity to make a change and to fight for what they believe in and to unite across party lines.
Mm-hmm. So I have my partner Tom Peppers riding shotgun with us. Tom, do you have any questions for Aaron?
Well, I do think it's interesting that Gavin Newsom calls you extremists and Trump supporters and says that you're going to bring in the broken politics of Washington. I mean, the last time I checked, California is fairly broken. Can you just talk a little bit about the struggle? Because, yeah, no, it's insane. So, I mean, obviously there are a lot of Republicans in California, and my understanding is you guys just kind of get railroaded by the opposition, and this now seems to be the most extreme leftist governor that you folks have ever had. So can you talk about the last few years running up to this and now what's changed since Newsom came into office?
Well, you know, it's interesting because the last few years running up to this, you know, Governor now Newsom in place, we had Governor Newsom as lieutenant governor, where he did much of nothing under Jerry Brown. You know, Jerry Brown, we thought was a bit extreme. And now we're seeing, well, Gavin Newsom makes him look like a kindergartner. But, you know, this is a longstanding issue. And I believe that you are correct. It maybe didn't start with Gavin Newsom, but certainly Gavin Newsom has been one of the big players here in the state. You know, as a nephew of Nancy Pelosi, it's no shock. But here's the deal. It's just getting worse and very quickly. Probably I'd say in the last 2 to 3 years, we've seen, you know, something that seemed to be homeless here and there sprout up to be just an everyday occurrence. It doesn't matter what town you're in. And the minute you start getting used to that, there's something wrong. And there's something broken. And I believe that just making this a normalcy, it's a climate that we need to change, and we need to be more proactive as Californians. There's a lot of money that comes in the state. We are, you know, the fifth largest economy in the world. And we need to be able to harness that in a productive way, not in a socialistic spread the wealth type fashion, but, you know, foster good, strong conservative principles and balanced leadership where it comes to finance, and let our money work for us, reduce regulation. Instead, these guys, the last two, you know, Newsom and Breyer, basically regulating and taxing people to death here. It's got to stop.
Yeah, you know what? And one thing a lot of people don't know is that Gavin Newsom is actually related to Nancy Pelosi. A lot of people don't even realize that. And that's probably where all this insanity comes from. All right, so we're going to talk to Aaron Cruz much more, and then after this break, we'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back. Firepowernews.com, firepowernews.com. Okay, so we have our special guest on with us, Erin Cruz. She successfully has a petition to have Gavin Newsom removed from office in the state of California. He is the governor of the state of California. I believe he's tyrannical. He's putting tyranny onto the American people in the state of California. And Erin, thank you for joining us again. And thank you for so much for doing what you're doing. It is absolutely beautiful. I almost kind of wish I was there in California with you to engage in this fight against Gavin Newsom, because he should have been gone a long time ago.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, you're helping where you're at right now. You're really helping where you're at. And that's important. We're all working together. One common goal, which is to serve the people of these great United States of America. You know, here's the deal. Everybody can get involved to help us here in the state of California in this fight. If they go to recallgavinnow.com, they can donate. They can sign up to call and phone bank. You know, we're fighting the good fight here, but people over there across the country, they can help. What happens here in California when costs get driven up, when, you know, people like Gavin Newsom, one of the most radical governors in U.S. history get into power. He's putting it in a place here in California where our truckers, costs are all going to rise. Gas prices are rising. Costs will rise. That's going to pass on to the entire country, especially with the superpower we are. So folks, we need help. Get involved and we're going to keep fighting here. We're not going to give up. I'm not leaving. I'm going to tell you that. I love California. Okay.
So let my co-host here, Tom Pepper, get a question if you have one, Tom.
Of course.
Well, you're really zeroing in on something that's so important, which is California is, I think, becoming unlivable. I mean, more and more people are leaving every single day. And now I have to get on your case at this point because you're ruining the rest of the country with your California refugees. So what can we do to turn that process around? Because it's a beautiful state. There's beautiful people. I think that this is going to be the solution. How can the rest of America help you get this guy out?
Well, they can go to recallgavinnow.com and donate. That's going to help us be successful in this push, this nonpartisan push to recall Gavin Newsom. It takes, I think, a lot of unity to accomplish what we're trying to accomplish here. And California has been largely divided, but in this process since starting the recall, I'm seeing people come together. And those are the conversations that we need to start having. And using this process for to be able to get anywhere, legislatively, as communities, as people here, to be able to accomplish some restoration that we so desperately need. So people can take part, like I said, across the country. But, you know, and the other thing is if they have family, they're listening right now and they know people who live here, who are registered voters here, spread the good word. Make a phone call. You know, you maybe think, somebody else will do it. No, don't leave it to somebody else. We all are in this together. United we stand, divided we fall. So
absolutely,
we're counting on everybody.
Yeah, you know, I used to say that same thing. I said, I'm not waiting on anyone to start speaking up to try to make noise about what the government officials in the state of California was doing. I couldn't sit idly by any longer to do it. So let me ask you this. What has been the support look like from the people in California after they found out that yours is the actual, petition that, you know, the Senate passed or the state secretary passed?
The Secretary of State passed. They're pretty shocked. You know, we've been working on this for almost 8 months. The first one failed because, you know, it was the Secretary of State is so corrupt. But, you know, here I am. I ran for U.S. Senate as a grassroots candidate in 2018. You know, I'm fairly young. I've got two grown kids. I'm a widow. I'm a writer, an author, and speaker. And I think it's just unexpected. But you know what? I'm a fighter. I'm a warrior spirit, and I'm not going to give up. I've been in politics for about 10 years now as an activist, and I'm looking around going, you know, we can't wait for anyone else, like you said. We've got to do this. We have to take charge. I have skills and abilities, and that's what we're going to put to work. And here's the thing. I met a lot of people in 2018 going up and down the state, and they're all coming together across party lines as well. And we're going to stand united and fight for California. So yeah. I think it's great. People are really excited. The momentum is there. We just need, you know, more people to know about it. That's why your show, you know, you may not be here, but you're here in spirit. Your show is going to be so instrumental in so many others because we have to get the word out. The MSM is not wanting to cover this. One America News covered it. You're covering it. Some radio stations have covered it. But, you know, we've got a big propaganda machine out there that's not serving the people as well. You know, the mainstream media. So we're going to have to unite as people if we want this republic across the United, you know, the entire United States to continue forth in freedom. We really are.
Right. So to my understanding, you're running for Senate right now, correct?
No, I'm running. I'm actually running for United States Congress in the 36th Congressional District. That's in Riverside County. And, that's in Palm Springs where Coachella is. And, you know, it's difficult out here right now. We have some blue pockets and some red pockets, but I think again, this is our time. We just have to come together as a people and start having good conversation, and looking at what we can actually do to better the country and to better our states and communities. Because like I said, you know, California goes, so goes the nation. And as we see, states are turning purple, you know, or becoming more liberal. And we've got to really, really work on the communication in order to keep things great. So.
Okay, I have one. You know, I have one more question for you, and I think maybe Tom has one more too. But the question I have is: tell people how they can get the petition and how they can help you get this petition out to people who haven't seen it.
Okay, so folks, if you're registered voters here in the state of California, you can go to recallgavinnow.com. That's going to take you to our webpage, which is ranaf.org, that's the organization, and you're going to be able to download the petition. It's a legal size document, 8.5 by 14. Go ahead and download that document, print it on legal size paper, fill it out, the entire document. You can just be one person and fill it out if you'd like. Sign the declaration of circular, and then go to our contact page, and there's an address. You can just mail it on in. We'll go ahead and process it. And we'll submit it to your county's registrar for you. It is that simple. It's a little bit of time, a little bit of effort for a lot of benefit.
I think it's well worth it. You got any last questions for Tom?
So I do. So I know we're running out of time, but I want to get people excited. Mm-hmm. So let's say you're successful. You get the 1.5 million or just over that and Gavin is gone. Mm-hmm. What steps can then be taken to get California back on the right track?
Well, part of it is getting this on the ballot so the people can vote in nonpartisan fashion to get this guy removed, and then electing somebody who is a strong, fiscally responsible person who can get this beautiful state of California in the right position. And the people are going to have to fight for that. They're going to have to come together and have that conversation. And I think this is a process, so it's good.
Well, awesome.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for coming on with us, Ms. Cruz, and it's been absolutely awesome. You need to come back on with us again when you can so we can find out how your campaign is going and the status so far. We got to get it pushed after you. Thank you for coming on with us. All right, firepowernews.com. Will Johnson, Tom Pepper, we'll be right back.
This is the essence of what the president communicates. We've been very good to your country, very good. No other country has done as much as we have. But you know what? I don't see much reciprocity here. I hear what you want. I have a favor I want from you, though. And I'm going to say this only 7 times, so you better listen good. I want you to make up dirt on my political opponent, understand lots of it. On this and on that, I'm going to put you in touch with people, not just any people. I'm going to put you in touch with Attorney General of the United States, my Attorney General, Bill Barr. He's got the whole weight of the American law enforcement behind him. And I'm going to put you in touch with Rudy. You're going to love him. Trust me. You know what I'm asking, and so I'm only going to say this a few more times, in a few more ways. And by the way, don't call me again. I'll call you when you've done what I asked. This is, in sum and character, what the president was trying to communicate with the president of Ukraine. It would be funny if it wasn't such a graphic betrayal of the president's oath of office. But as it does represent a real betrayal, there's nothing the president says here that is in America's interest, after all. It is instead the most consequential.
Wow. I mean, he's blatantly lying right there. He's trying to make the story. He's trying to make this whole thing something that is really not. He's still trying to push it that President Trump is doing something that he shouldn't have been doing. And just like last night, we talked about it, where President Trump has every right to ask the president of Ukraine to look into criminal matters. It is on the law books. There's nothing wrong with it. When the Democrats did it, and President Trump was making a point to bring it up, when the Democrats was talking to Ukraine about different things, about criminal matters, it was in their right as well, because the United States and Ukraine has an agreement with one another. All right, so we have Tom Pepper still with us. So, Tom, the Democrats are going for broke here. They have lost it. We had Robert Burns on talking about all of this, and he was just laying out all this information. But, you know, I think they have nothing else to do but to try to do everything they can to take out the president. And just like Robert Burns was saying, that it was, this is a deep state 2.0.
Well, I think that's right. But I mean, what we just saw, Will, that was some of the most egregious lies I've ever heard come out of Shifty Shift. I mean, that is some words that he said, make up dirt. You know what I'm asking. I'll call you when you've done what I've asked. You know what's interesting about all those words, Will? They're nowhere in the transcript from the call. That was a totally fictitious, made up conversation that never on God's green earth happened between those two men. And he then later tries to say, oh, it was a parody. I was just kidding. It's like a little kid when they get in trouble. I'm just kidding, Dad. But I think you're right. They're going for broke. Why else would they get out in front of the American people and just straight up lie? Not even an ounce, a modicum, not an iota of truth was in anything that man just said.
Yeah, absolutely. And he said it's just a parody, but they know good and well that anyone that looks at that and hears what he's saying, they're not going to perceive it as a parody. They're going to perceive it as that's what's in the document. That is the information that came out. That is the hearsay information that we all should believe. And they know that. They're playing on words, and they're counting on the American people to be so dumbed down that they're not going to know otherwise.
No, that's exactly what the goal is here. I mean, he is hoping and betting that his allies in the mainstream media will not read from the transcript, and they're not. He's hoping that instead they will play clips of him so he'll get to be famous, lying, putting words into the president of the United States' mouth. And the media is going to do him a favor. I'm sure on the cable news networks right now, they're replaying what Schiff said and nothing else whatsoever. But that, I mean, Will, people should be furious. They should be on fire at home right now, because that was out and out bold-faced lies, complete propaganda.
Yes, it's just like they did with the Kavanaugh, saying that Kavanaugh, showed his stuff to this lady, and come to find out it was completely fraudulent. And, you know, the leftist media, they're not even talking about it any longer because they got caught in the lie. But now they're riding on the coattails of this as far as they can go. It's almost like they're surfing, thinking that they're going to ride out and stay on the top of this surfing board and never tip over, but they're going to have a rude awakening. The American people are not dumb. The American people are not going to fall for it. After all of these different things that they've been throwing at this man, and he's just a man, they've been throwing all of this stuff at him, and nothing has worked, and they expect the American people to believe, like, oh, now President Trump got on the phone and said, yo, President Ukraine, I need you to help me to undermine the 2020 election because I need your help. Seriously, they know good and well Joe Biden, Cory Booker, Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, Buttigieg, none of them can beat President Trump in the 2020 election. They're panicking. That's why they're doing everything they can right now to get at him.
That's right. They're getting more and more desperate, and that's what these moves, I think, represent. I mean, we started off with Stormy Daniels, then we went to the Steele dossier, then mm-hmm. we went to Kavanaugh, then the Covington kids. I mean, there's so many different things, and it's getting less and less credible as time goes on, to the point where they're, again, making fictitious conversations. Apparently, Schiff has an imaginary friend now.
He does. He has an imaginary friend. I like that. That's, I can see that. You know, they're talking to them. They think that they're American people. The imaginary American people that are dumb, the dumb ones, well, we have to give some of them credit, because there are some dumb ones out there because they believe in everything that's coming out of the liberal media. I mean, they're constantly doing it. So what do you, let me ask you once, because I asked Robert Barnes what he thought. Let me ask you, once this falls flat on its face, because there's nothing there. There's nothing there. Once this falls flat on its face and they have nothing else, what do you think they're going to do?
I mean, honestly, Will, I think, unless you mean impeachment as a whole, because this is already falling on its face. It's falling flat. There's not even smoke. There's no fire. There's no smoke. It's an absolute disgrace. But I think what they're going to do is they're going to try to impeach this man. I think the House is probably going to kick it to the Senate. And then it will be interesting to see what the Senate does. But I think that they want this to be fireworks through 2020. I think that they think this is how they can snatch victory from the jaws of defeat, by putting Trump on a stand, just like they did Bill Clinton in the 1990s, and trying to get the American public against him. The difference is, Trump has done nothing wrong. I mean, my goodness, the man's been in the public eye for about 4 years now. If he had done anything wrong, they would have found it somewhere. It just doesn't exist. But I think that's the goal. They want to try to make him look bad. They're going to bring up all the dirty laundry.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So if they haven't found anything, And after they go through this whole impeachment, I think part of the reason why they want to push the whole impeachment to the Senate, because they want people to believe that the Republicans are not doing their job by trying to find out the truth. So when it comes to the 2020 election, they're going to use that against the Republicans to say, look, the Republicans aren't doing their job. They don't want to even find the truth. So you got to vote them out. That's exactly what they're going to say. And it's right. All a game. It's all the big game. And it's like playing chess. So now the biggest thing that we can hope for is that these Republicans do not fold over. They do not put the tail between their legs and hunker down. And they need to grow a pair. They need to stand up and say, we're not going along with it.
That's right. Just so at least one of the two back on, just one of them. But, you know, it's interesting, Will. Before the show, I was going through some numbers with the producer here in the studio, and he told me that he was reading an article earlier today. 90% of Republicans do not support impeachment. 70% of independent or other parties do not support impeachment. 60% of Democrats do not support impeachment. So the overwhelming majority of this country are not in favor of going any further, not even starting this thing. They say they've already gone too far with the inquiry. But I think that you're right. They want to try to paint this as do-nothing Republicans, and the Democrats are trying to save the day.
Yep. You're absolutely right. You know what? We're going to talk more about it after this break, and we have some more clips. We have some clips that we didn't get to this break, but we're going to do this. We're going to get to more of these clips. We're going to show you. We're going to expose the left as much as possible, because people need to wake up to what's happening here. The coup is actually real. You're living. You're seeing the coup take place. We'll be back right after this.
What else it's not? It's not the conversation that was in the chairman's opening statement. And while the chairman was speaking, I actually had someone text me, is he just making this up? And yes, he was. Because sometimes fiction is better than the actual words or the text. But luckily the American public are smart, and they have the transcript. They've read the conversation. They know when someone's just making it up.
They're making it all up. All right, welcome back, firepowernews.com. They're making it all up. We know that they're making it up. You know, Tom, this is what the American people are seeing. They're seeing it unfold. The sad thing about all of this, there's a lot of people that are, you know, they're not even really paying attention to all of this. That's the scary thing about it. There's a lot of people going day in, day out, and they're not even paying attention to what's actually happening. And then they only take the sound bites that's coming out from the liberal media. I mean, that's a big problem, in my opinion.
Well, I think you're right. And it's almost understandable. You know, you get people, they're going to work, they're dropping off their kids, they're picking up the kids, they go home, they've got 2 hours to watch TV and they watch CNN and then they go to bed. And that's a really sad state of American affairs, because what makes this country great is that any citizen can get involved, especially now in the 21st century. Even though we have big tech clamping us down constantly, any single person, as Robert Barnes was saying in the last hour, any single person can get out there and have a massive voice and enact change. So It is really sad that people are still just willing to be trapped in their 2D paradigm of, well, let's see what they say on CNN and that must be gospel.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have another clip that you were kind of referring to it earlier with Shifty Shift, talking about I'm just doing it. Like you said, it's like kids. Dad, I was just kidding. I was just lying, but I was kidding. So let's put that video up on the screen. Shifty Shift.
Aside, I want to mention that my colleague is right on both counts. It's not okay, but also my summary of the president's call was meant to be at least part in parody. The fact that that's not clear is a separate problem in and of itself. Of course, the president never said, if you don't understand me, I'm going to say it 7 more times. My point is, that's the message that the Ukraine president was receiving in not so many words. Mr. Carson.
You hear that? He's putting words into the mouth of the Ukrainian president. That's right. Exactly what he's doing. He's putting words into the mouth of the Ukrainian president.
Who, by the way, disagrees completely. I mean, we saw that clip yesterday, and maybe we'll show it again tonight, where the Ukrainian president says, no, I didn't feel pressured. I didn't feel coerced. It was a normal phone call. But it's even worse. I mean, that was Schiff trying to walk back a little bit of what he said, which, again, was an out-and-out lie. He made up a conversation in his own head that sounded good. He's in high school drama class, apparently. But then he only halfway backed out, because it says it was at least part in parody. And he never said the part about saying it 7 times. No, Adam Schiff, he said none of that. Not a single word in the order in which you put them was said in that transcript. The American people can go look at it on Twitter. It's not that hard. He is so convinced. I mean, this is a real problem with the Democrats, I think, Will. They think it's still the 1950s or maybe the 1980s, and they can get by with spreading total bold-faced lies that, you know, they think the American people can't look it up. Nowadays, it's easier than ever before. Grab your smartphone, look it up. It's like Hillary Clinton in the 2016 election. Google it at home, folks, and you can learn the truth.
Exactly. So we do have that clip with the Iranian president where he was saying that he wasn't pressured and that didn't take place. So let's go ahead and cue that up and show that one.
We have many investment cases. We're ready.
And stop corruption in Ukraine, because that will really make you great. That will make you great personally, and it'll also be so tremendous for your nation in terms of what you want to do and where you want to take it. Thank you very much. It's a great honor.
Thank you very much, Mr. President.
President Zelensky, have you felt any pressure from President Trump to investigate Joe Biden and Hunter Biden?
I think you read everything. So I think you read text. I'm sorry, but I don't want to be involved to democratic, open, elections of USA. No, you heard that we had, good phone call. It was normal. We spoke about many things, and I think. And you read it that nobody pushed me. Yes.
In other words, no pressure.
President Trump.
Because you know what? There was no pressure. And you know there was, and by the way, you know there was no pressure. All you have to do is see it, what went on the call. But you know that. But you could ask the question, and I appreciate the answer. Go ahead.
He didn't even want to be involved in the election. He straight up said it right there. You know what? Put numbers, video six, put the box back up on the screen for me and put number 6 in the video. And so we can go to President Trump where he's talking about how the Democrats screwed up. Because his call was innocent. He was every right to make the phone call. He didn't break the law. He didn't do anything wrong here. But the Democrats are taking and twisting it.
My call was perfect. The president yesterday of Ukraine said there was no pressure put on him whatsoever, none whatsoever. And he said it loud and clear for the press. What these guys are doing, Democrats, are doing to this country is a disgrace, and it shouldn't be allowed. There should be a way of stopping it, maybe legally through the courts, but they're going to tie up our country. We can't talk about gun regulation. We can't talk about anything, because frankly, they're so tied up, they're so screwed up, nothing gets done except when I do it. I'm using Mexico to protect our border because the Democrats won't change loopholes in asylum. When you think of that, and I want to thank Mexico, 27,000 soldiers they have. But think of how bad that is. Think of it. Well, we use Mexico because the Democrats won't fix our broken immigration system. We need
the Democrats don't want to fix anything. The Democrats don't care. They don't care about this nation. They don't care about the people in this country. If it was up to the Democrats, they would most definitely just destroy this nation if they have to get at President Trump. My God.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, it is one of the most infuriating things that the American public is absolutely sick of, and they've been sick of it for years, that Congress is doing nothing. They're stuck in this constant stalemate. Now, under Trump, we've seen it get to such ridiculous heights that because yes. President Trump is getting things done, they're trying to just impeach the man and totally nullify the 2016 election.
I mean, it's almost like they're using impeachment to get away from doing their actual jobs. I mean, seriously. If someone asks them, what are you doing for the American people? They say, well, right now, our focus is to impeach this president. That's what our focus is on right now. The American people, you have to take a back seat. You have problems, Americans. You have to take a back seat because we have a personal vendetta against this president. And you're going to have to wait until we can get what we want before we proceed to give you anything. And you know what? It reminds me. And a lot of people say, well, you always bring up the race card because, you know, it's the left that's always being racist, right? You know, they're constantly doing this, and it reminds me of black people that keep voting for the same thing that does nothing for them. And black people, and the only reason why I'm talking about black people because it's predominantly black people that keep doing it. But you know what? There's white people, brown people, Asian people that keep voting for the same thing, and they say they don't support half the stuff that they do. But they keep supporting them. I don't understand it. I truly believe, and I hope this is the case, that this is going to be the downfall of the Democrat KKK party. I pray to God that is the case.
Well, I mean, we are getting so close to that happening, Will. I mean, we saw the 2016 election map when it was a sea of red and a couple little blue dots. Since then, we've seen black Americans move toward President Trump in record numbers. We've seen Hispanic Americans move closer to President Trump in record numbers. It's not going well for that party. And they know they're scared. They know President Trump is going to be on the ballot in 2020 and Americans are going to turn out like never before.
Yep. You're absolutely right. Well, we're almost here at the end. You know what? This has been really awesome. Tom, you know what? I've been getting a lot of people talking about they like that Turbo Force commercial we did. It's not even really a commercial. It's just a little spot. You having a Turbo Force experience. And you know what? It's because of our sponsors, the reason why we're able to be here. And I just want to make sure and we acknowledge our sponsor because there's so much stuff going on and all this crazy stuff going on. Right now, Black Friday on InfoWarsStore.com, which is our sponsor. They are a sponsor for this show. That's the reason why this show goes on, because of you. We get to be here. The American people that support InfoWarsStore.com, which is our sponsor. And this is how we engage in the fight. This is how we do it. I mean, we don't have George Soros. We don't have big Tom, Tom Steyer, who is anti-Trump. You know, he's doing the whole impeach Trump thing and he's just all happy about what's going on. These people are trying to destroy this country. They're trying to destroy the nation. We have families here. You and I are here. We love this country. And you know what? You and I, we're going to keep fighting for this country day in and day out. Hey, Tom, I'll see you tomorrow. God bless.
We'll see you tomorrow, Will.
All right. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next time.